In these days of doom and gloom, economic downturn, etc., every day the newspapers, the media is telling us that things are not good. And of course, for many people, they really are not good. But we are concerned about York and North Yorkshire. In North Yorkshire, we have a myriad of hospitality establishments, restaurants, takeaways, hotels, etc., of which some of them are highly successful. There's no doubt about that. Sadly, one or two do go against the wall. But one story which sticks in my mind more than ever is the wonderful rise of a restaurant concept in York. Well, it started in York, which is going from strength to strength. Lucia's was the starting point, which is on Swinegate in York. And then we got a Cut and Craft. I have got one of the co-founders and owners in the studio with me. Oscar, how are you?
I'm very well. Thank you so much, Wayne.
Oscar, thank you for joining us here at Y1 Radio. We have met previously, but I've been watching you and your business thrive, I think, is grow and thrive. I think that's how I would see it. You've been investing heavily, not into just York, but, you know, more recently Leeds, Beverley,
Harrogate.
Harrogate, Manchester's on the way.
Yeah.
How is it that not only have you managed to survive, but you're growing and, you know, the restaurants look fabulous? I mean, they're huge investments.
Thank you so much, Wayne. Why are we growing? Is that the question? Why are we growing? Because we believe we have a point to make. We believe we have a very good brand. We're proud. We believe that our products are very accessible, yet feel very exclusive. We work hard. We believe we deserve it. We take risks. Maybe in a nice way that we try to tell one or two people, maybe some corporate businesses, that there are better ways of doing this business than just seeing the customers as a number or seeing the restaurant seen as a business, but more a hospitality. It's end of the day, it is hospitality. So let's show our hospitality, and that's what we're trying to tell the people.
What is the secret? Because, you know, if I go, even during the weekday, if I walk past Lucia's on Swinegate, for instance, or even the Cut and Craft, invariably, they are very busy. What is it?
Creating a relationship between our customers. I think there's a formula for this. If you have a good product in a good location and accessible, and you provide that service and products continuously, whether it is an economic crisis, rain, snow, whatever, just continue on that one product and the service, and eventually it work. It is almost impossible not to work. You just have to be patient and continue.
I think a little bit later on in the interview, we'll ask you how you can inspire young people, because there's a lot of people out there are going to be listening to this interview and they're thinking, well, can I do this? Okay. I'm sure you've got quite a lot to say about that. However, I'd like to know where it all started, because my memory takes me back possibly about 14, 15 years ago when I believe you started at Lucia's on Swinegate. How did that all... Did you have a pocket full of money to open that or not?
Absolutely not. How did it start? There are different starting points, but perhaps the starting point that I was operating a coffee shop called Cafe Venice, and we were just doing slice of pizzas and the bacon rolls and everything. And I just looked at myself one and thought that I really deserve more than this. And I said to myself that I have to do better. And we saw the opportunities on the Swinegate, a rundown bankrupt, I suppose, closed restaurant. And
yes,
I put my imagination into it and thinking that this little courtyard could turn into a true Mediterranean feeling at the courtyard. And there was a little of angel was looking at the corner. It was like olive can looking at me, and it had the name says Lucia on it. And it's a funny story, because people think that Lucia is a girl's name. What is it? It is a girl's name, but it's actually the angel of Santa Lucia. So that's the true name of Lucia.
Right.
It's the saint of lights, saint of hopes, saint of coming from dark to the lights. So that lady was in that courtyard, Santa Lucia. And we just didn't take the saint, but we just kept the Lucia as the name of this restaurant.
And you took over, presumably, the lease of that property, and then you had to... Who designed it? I mean, this is your first restaurant. Who designed it for
you? We designed
it. You did it.
We designed it together with my business partner. We were just hired a workman and paid him to do the one wall. And we were just sitting on the corner and watching how they did do it. So then we memorized that how they do it and do the second wall with our own expense.
So in other words, because money was
very tight.
Very tight.
Yeah, we lied to the bank.
I mean, unlike today, you probably get an interior designer company involved.
No, nothing at all.
This is the start, wasn't it? The start.
Yeah.
So you copied.
Start humble.
You thought, right, I can see how he's decorating that. We're going to do that. You completed it. What about when it came? So you decided on the colours, presumably, et cetera, and the furniture. What about the opening? How long did it take you from?
Opening took forever. We had a very small budget, and I'm not ashamed to say that we actually got to the IKEA to get some of the chairs. We just shop around, really. We bought the knife and cutlery set from the next door, and all just started like that. Not until the later point when we started realizing the customers are getting cold outside. Then it was a Christmas time. We come up with the idea, like, just give them a blanket. And so I went to the nearest Christmas market because it was a Christmas.
I know.
And
have
I found this.
Little lambs on them.
Yeah, we found this Christmas blanket. And it was a Christmas reindeer with the red nose and everything. And we didn't care. We just wanted to give them a blanket. And that, we just realized that people liked that. It was a magical moment that everything just worked. And the angel above us and said, "You guys go and carry on."
were you busy from the beginning?
Yes and no. We was a very slow start because people didn't know where we were and what we were doing. And we wanted to create a tapas dining. And it was a 2008 swine flu, it was an economic crisis. We wanted to keep everything under £10. There was a big write-up about us from the York Press, which we thank you to Maxine back in that days. She wrote very good reviews and said that this is a very unique experience, and up until that moment we didn't know what we were doing, and then people started queuing.
So this was in the press, newspaper, locally, yeah?
Yeah, there was a write-up before we opened the Lucia. Yes. It was a headline saying that, "Are these people stupid or too clever? We shall find out," because we are opening a restaurant in a swine gate, in a swine flu, in an economic crisis. And they thought we were crazy. After that, when she's been experienced Lucia early days, and it was not the experience, it was just a very weird experience. We were hoovering the restaurant while the customers dining, and people used to jump from the wine boxes. It was truly authentic.
But it didn't bother them.
It didn't. People loved us. Yes. They loved it. They loved the restaurant. They loved our genuinity. They loved our hard work. It was they loved that cheesy blankets of Christmas reindeer, and they loved the fairy lights. Even if it was a January, February, they thought it was Christmas every day. So they loved us.
I mean, compared to your restaurants now, where you spend substantial amounts of money, I mean, eye-watering, I mean, that's completely obvious. Because of the designs and finishes. How much did you spend on Lucia's when you started?
First Lucia, maybe I'll say 30,000, £35,000. Yeah. We borrowed the £25,000 from bank and we told them it was a house improvement.
Oh, right.
Like everyone does.
Right.
But no, we borrowed £25,000 from the bank, and we bought most of the stuff from the B&Q. I mean, it was a free restaurant because we begged the landlord to give it to us initially. They just wanted to get rid of the unit. And
yes.
we bought from stuff really around us. We bought stuff from Barnett's,
yes.
IKEA, B&Q.
How quickly? I mean, it was a success once you'd seen this article that was in the press from Maxine.
Yeah.
That seemed to create some impetus, didn't it?
Absolutely, yes, it did.
Footfall for you. How long did it take you to get into profit?
First week.
I wasn't expecting that, by the way.
I am not here to tell you another story. It was a success from the very beginning.
Money started.
Money was started coming in, but it's not that we didn't know anything. We didn't know what to do with the money. We were just spending back into business for years to come. We never took any advantage of it.
Yes.
We get better floor. We get better wall painting. Yes. We started getting better wallpaper, I suppose, cutlery. You know, we invested back in the business for years.
And of course, Lucia's in York, Swinegate, that's extended enormously, hasn't it?
Yes, it has.
Now into another unit as well.
went to the across the street. Become a patisserie, which we serve Italian ice creams and coffees and all sorts. And then we went upstairs to like a lounge area. Then we turned into sort of like a lounge area. We use them in Christmas and friendly. It was at some point, it was a nightclub, which was a mistake back in days.
Right.
But we learned it on that side for 15 years as we go along. But we expanded truly. And created better courtyard facilities. I think it's beautiful.
Absolutely.
Beautiful place.
Yeah. I've been visiting it for quite a number of years, actually. I mean, originally, you know, being quite frank with you, I used to like to sit out there when it was cold because you got all those heaters out there and you could... People in those days could have a cigarette, of course, which you don't allow now.
No, not anymore.
And quite rightly. But you could. I mean, things have changed, haven't they, Oscar? We've got to remember that things have changed. They've evolved, haven't they? And so 15 years ago, to a certain extent, people accepted that if you sat outside, you could have a cigarette.
A lot of things changed for the better. I was never agreed on, I like the idea of smoking in the restaurant, which was, I think, was wrong. But it was a Mediterranean way of living. It was welcomed idea. We did allow this for a long time, and it worked at the time. But now the modern society don't allow such behavior, and of course we don't either.
No.
But now that new thing is the electronic cigarettes. Now I can see the people actually smoking within the restaurant sometimes with the using e-cigs, which we tell them to stop again.
Yes, yes. What came after Lucia's then?
The Beverly. We invested in Beverly. We opened a beautiful restaurant in there. It was like a magical hidden treasure, and that was a successful. And then we opened Harrogate. We bought a building there and we invested heavily in there. It was a ex-queen property. We opened the Harrogate and we expanded there. Then we decided to stop in Italian cuisine in Lucia's and invested in different idea, a different concept. And that's where the steakhouse, the Cut and Craft, came in.
Of which York was the first one in St. Sampson Square.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yeah, we loved the idea. Somebody said that it's a bad area, bad location. No one will like the steak. Steak is a boring cuisine, but we proved them wrong. But again, is the key thing is we always suggest to people that if you have a good product, accessible, in a good location, and you serve it with your true heart, you'll make it.
And after that,
with the success of York Cut and Craft, we wanted to take a risk going into a city, and the Leeds was the neighboring city. We worried a lot. We analyzed a lot. We worked a lot, and we opened the Cut and Craft, second Cut and Craft in King Street, next door to Ivy Asia. There was a huge project. We spent about $2 million in there. There was all our savings, all our reserves, a lot of loans, and there's a huge risk because we didn't know the Leeds well. We understand that Leeds is a local city.
I think that's one of the messages, isn't it, for people who want to start in business. There is a level of risk, depending on what you're doing, you know, and you have to prepare to take that on board, don't you? It's part of the whole thing, isn't it?
Absolutely. The risk is everything. It's the only way to go forward. But there are ways to calculate the risks. It's not a good idea just take the risk blindly.
Yes.
But you have to calculate the risk. You have to do your homework.
Yes.
And put two by two together. And quite often the results are there right in front of you if you're willing to see.
Yes. I think one of the dangers is personal guarantees. I mean, I know they're unavoidable, but giving personal guarantees, especially if you've got a house on the line for it, that's something that you've got to think about more than once. Would you agree with that, Oscar? Or would you say no? If you think that you've got the right idea, then you should do that.
Wayne, it's a very good question. I think there's no right or wrong answer for this one. But if you have a product and you know that product can make it out there, discuss it with your family and friends, and quite often the strangers maybe, just put it out of the public. One thing I have learned that people don't lie. Your friends can lie or your family can lie or they're not hide the truth, but strangers don't lie. You take it out there and ask the people what you think this idea. They'll tell you the truth and you make a decision based on what other people's opinion, but then you make the final decision. A decision is yours. Take a risk, in my opinion. I'm a big risk taker, so take the risk.
So each time you've opened a new unit, whether it be a Lucia or a Cut and Craft, Have you learnt anything about that particular brand that you've then improved upon, perhaps, in the next version of it? Does that make sense?
Yeah, but that could be a big mistake as well, because you have to understand the city that you're going into. The, for example, when we were in New York, we thought so differently about the Leeds. But when we went to the Leeds, we learned that Leeds is such a small city and is very local. We learned that very quickly, and we invested into the city locally. But when we are going to the Manchester, perhaps we are approaching differently to the Manchester clientele. So each city is on their own clientels, and that also there's a, like a Chinese saying, the water finds its way, isn't it? We kind of let the restaurant develop itself. We wait, the customers make decisions. They wanted to see a lot of seafood dishes in Cut and Craft in the steakhouse, and we allowed that. We invested more in fish dishes. Then they also wanted to see a lot of vegetarian dishes. I know it's a bizarre, it's a steakhouse, but we invested in vegetarian dishes. So not because we create these ideas, it's just been required and requested.
Yes.
We learn, the customers tell us what they want, and we provide it.
I mean, obviously, to create such an incredible business that you have done, you've not done it on your own completely.
Yes.
I know that you've got a partner. Is it Osman?
Business partner, and long-time friend, Osman.
Yes. How is it that you two work together? Because
We don't work together. We completely opposite each other.
Yes.
I'm very different than him. I perhaps be more dreamer. I have a good imagination. I'm driven. I'm ambitious, and I sometimes make too much too quick decisions. But he is much more down to earth, more realistic. He sits down to me and let's talk about it. Let's talk about the stuff. And
yes,
he's opposite me.
Yes,
black and white.
And of course, at times that will be frustrating for you as a visionary creative. But then, obviously, when you look back, you think, well, no, he's necessary. He's absolutely necessary in your business.
You need people like this in your life.
Yeah.
And to being stubborn on your own and thinking that you know the best, you make everything best, you don't need anyone else. I'm sorry, that's not true.
Yes.
You need people in your life to tell you. My son gets sometimes upset because I tell him these things straightforward.
Yes.
And he hates it. But I think truth hurts.
Yes.
But you need to hear it.
Absolutely. How do you deal with your, you know, HR, your staff, your team members who I'm sure work extremely hard in your venues? I mean, things have changed quite a lot. Attitudes have changed. There is a difference between the people, some people who work today in hospitality, and others. There seems to be a, if I may say, a sort of a self-entitled view by some people. I will never, ever, when I've got a comment to make, say everybody. You know, even though it seems to be young people from time to time. Are you with me what I'm saying? There's been a change, a sea of change. How do you deal with that?
Change of management, change of behavior, change of management style. Is that the question?
Yes, yes.
I have seen these changes over a period of time. I have a very good team. We have operational managers, we have general managers, we have mystery diners, we have all sorts of operations going in that direction. I have learned to give them a chance to these young people. I have also learned that what I think might not necessarily always the best decision. I have learned to give a chance to different perspectives. We work alongside with the young people, we give them a chance, and they, in some cases, better than us. But I called it diplomacy. I think they're good at diplomacy. I call it bureaucracy. I call it networking. We are the old version, just very direct, black and white. And
a little bit,
and sometimes that's not the way you should be dealing with today's generation. There's other ways of explaining a point. And these people are amazing to take that point into the larger scale. So we are nothing without them.
There's going to be a lot of people listening to this, Oscar, that's the thing. I'd like to do that. You know, I mean, you certainly weren't given it on a plate. That you've made that very clear from the beginning. What is your special recipe? And what is it that you could say to people or individuals who would like to do something similar?
to people who wants to do something similar in any business, not just in hospitality, but any business, first you have to ask the question to yourself, why do you need it? You need to understand your reasons. Why do you want to make into the business, and what's your reasons? You want to be providing something unique, you want to be rich, you want to be make a lot of money, you want to provide a service, you want to be different than others. You need to understand your reasons first and make a decision on why you want to make a difference. The product that you have in your idea, analyze that product. Is it different than the others? Is it same like others? And doesn't have to be any difference, but maybe you can execute it differently. Maybe you can you need to have a plan on how we want to present that product. But Wayne, I think ultimately, if you have the mindset, it's you either have it, you can learn it a little bit maybe, but you either have it or you don't have it.
Yes. Well, I agree with
you. And if you have it, just go for it.
Yes. And I also say to people, and possibly some people may think I'm being patronizing, and I'm certainly not, but it's not for everybody. Going into business on your own is not for everybody. Would you agree with that?
100%.
And there's nothing to be ashamed by not doing it either.
Absolutely. And and it's not the sometimes right thing to do. Just dispose all your skill sets, all your experience into the one idea that you want to be having your own business. The you have to remember the last people who get paid in business is the company director.
People
will only make money out of it if there's profit to be made. But if you're an employee, that's a different story. You will have your money regardless of what.
And of course, a lot of sleepless nights in the early days.
And the
early
risk that
days,
you take,
Well, even now.
Yes.
I bet there's times when it happens, I guess. You know.
No, yeah. It happens all the time because I'm responsible for my people, for the people that we work with. I like to continue the Lucia's legacy as long as possible. It's something that I'm proud of, and it's my personal product and service and the restaurant together with my business partner.
What's the future for the company? I mean, you've got six outlets now.
Yeah, well, this is where we get ambitious. There's Manchester on the way, as you know, that we are opening end of this year or early next year. It's a beautiful site that we found. One particularly, we very much interested. Followed by the Liverpool. We have eyes on Edinburgh, and we want to open 7-8 Cut and Craft in UK, and then the extension of Cut and Craft to Dubai. And a few other cities that we have our own eyes. It's unrealistic? I don't think so. I think that's where we're going, and we are going to do that.
Right. So the question is, would it be a franchise?
No.
Oh, you would manage them in there?
No.
Right.
No, we wouldn't have a franchise. We pride and proud of being our own. We are local, independent, something that we proud. No, it will never be franchised. But I have one idea that I think they could be a franchisable, and that's not something I will be telling here
right now.
But it's something that we are working on it, which we will have the early attempts of this idea Christmas time this year.
Yes.
But only that product will be franchised. No. We just have built a sole independent business. It will continue to make a point, and hopefully with the God's help and the angel's touch, maybe that your company like ours can open a business in Dubai and cities like that alongside with the big corporate businesses, and then put them a finger to them and say that, look, we are here.
so what's your family situation? Are you?
I'm single. I have a son. I've been separated for a long time.
Is your son, is he old enough to work in the business? Or?
Yeah, he does work. He also worked in Ivy and competitors.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah, he worked at Ivy. He learned so much from that business. He worked with me. He's now working in a retail shop. I think he works at Penix. He worked at Cut and Craft. He's a lovely, but his heart lies in the movie industry. He wants to work in the movies.
It's not for everybody. Dad's the one that chose the hard business.
Yeah.
You certainly didn't choose an easy business, did you?
No, I think it's harder than my line of work.
But it seems to me that you thrive in it completely.
We want to do well, and why not?
Absolutely.
You know, that's why not?
It's a lovely story because, of course, you know, even though there are economic problems, I believe that, I don't think York's suffering. I'm not saying that nobody's suffering, but I don't think the city is suffering as much as a lot of other towns and cities in the country. But you seem to be thriving, and that means that your formula must be working.
Don't get me wrong, Wayne. We do suffer as well. There's a 15 to 20% drop in business. We feel it. This economic crisis, expensive life going on. I mean, it is difficult for every business, for sure. But I don't think the people spend less. I think they just shift their money to different locations. So they make choices from a one brand to another brand, from a one cloth to another brand. The money doesn't spend less. They just spend elsewhere. And if you capture this on this and provide an exclusive menu, more accessible price points, you'll continue. And that's what we're doing. We have a beautiful lunch menu. We have beautiful balance evening menu at £22 for two course. We have £14 10-on steak at Cut & Craft. It is a really good quality steak at £14 for 10-on.
Yes, yes.
So it is a very good value and very accessible.
Medium rare, please.
Yeah, anyway. It's the best. Don't go rare. By the way, don't go rare. Rare is too tough.
No, no. Especially with ribeye.
Yeah.
Anyway, is there anything else you'd like to say, Oscar? It's been wonderful having you here at Y1 Radio, and you sharing, you know, your experience as you've risen over the last 15 years, approximately. Well, I'm talking about within the two brands that you've got at the moment.
Yeah. I think the last thing I will say for the younger generation, that I'm much older than that, please continue with your dream, be creative, work hard, and nothing is going to come to you if you don't put the time and energy and the you know, sweat into it. That's the only thing I say. You work hard and keep going. Continue.
You know what? Thank you, Oscar, for joining us here at Y1 Radio, and hope to see you again soon.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me.